Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with the International Report today. And this is a blockbuster with exposing the plot to have a supranational body controlling all of our medicines for humans, animals, and even those that will be used to vaccinate food crops. This is actually a chilling movement led by Bill Gates and others going on in the shadows, and the public in the Western countries and the world are totally oblivious to what is being done behind our backs in the shadows to control all of the regulatory agencies set up by each independent country and create the International Committee on Medicines Regulatory Agency, operating independently of our own governments and independent of the FDA, the Medicines Health Regulatory Agency in the UK, the European Medicines Regulatory Agency, and all of the others globally. No one has brought this to light more strongly than our own Inside Pharma consultant and whistleblower host, Hedley Reese. And he has been sounding the alarm on this for quite a while. But today, Dr. Mike Eden, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and Croatian international journalist Andrea Klarić. So our team today is going to expose the plot with the ICMRA and bring that supranational body out of the shadows to expose who is behind it, what they are doing, and what they have planned to control all of us and affects not only our human bodies, but also contaminate the food supply through this mass vaccination in the veterinary market of both domestic pets and livestock that we use for food, which then in turn begins to lead to a cascade of adverse effects on the environment, as Roger Meacock, our veterinarian in the UK, has been exposing. And then also spraying vegetable crops with these mRNA, quote, vaccines, end quote, because they're not really vaccines. They're gene therapy. They modify the genome of plants, animals, and humans. And so this ICMRA, supranational body, is implementing and pushing all of this on the world, and people don't even know it exists. So stay tuned today and learn more about what is operating in the shadows that affects your life and health. Thank you all for being with us today. Dr. Eden, you want to take the lead on this?
Yes, Dr. Lee, thank you very much. Yes, this is a very serious and tangled problem. And again, just to credit Hedley Reese, our good colleague, he has multiple years' experience in biologics manufacturing and regulatory. I'm just the research guy. However, I think I've helped tell people that the design of the so-called vaccines that were made by companies like Moderna and Pfizer were intentionally meant to injure and kill people, which is exactly what they did. And so what we're seeing, what we saw happening, just as a quick reminder, is we were lied to about a huge public health emergency by the WHO that didn't exist. They managed to persuade everyone to kind of wait for a vaccine. Corrupt pharma companies made these dangerous materials, and then a mixture of bent regulatory authorities and governments ultimately said got these things available, and governments almost or sometimes really mandated them. And that circle of WHO scaring you, pharma making dangerous materials, regulators waving things through, and governments saying, you need to be up to speed with the latest protections as a citizen. I think that is a viable method for taking our freedoms away, and frankly, killing lots of us. I think that's what they will do. So what has Hedley discovered? So Hedley has been very close to the manufacturing and regulatory aspect of UK, and he's still very active. He runs a consultancy, and we can share the link to a recent article he's written. But very briefly, he is able to track the moves of some people that we know were involved in the fraud in 2020, 2021. And for example, there's a Dr. Van Tam that has gone from public health advisory position in the UK. He's just joined Moderna. Isn't that a nice thing? And there are other people like Sir Jeremy Farrar, who ran the Wellcome Trust. So that was a huge funding body adjacent to Bill and Melinda Gates and Fauci's NIH. So those three people, I think, help substantially control the non-commercial biological research in the globe over the last 10 years or so. So when we see these figures moving around, and Sir Jeremy Farrar has gone from Wellcome to the WHO. So, and there are a number of other moves. But the thing I want to bring out that was new to me was that at the moment, each of our independent sovereign nations have a national drug regulator. So the US has the Food and Drug Administration, the UK, the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Authority, the European Union, the EMA, and so on. And I think Mr. Bill Gates, unfortunately, I think he's had a dark genius idea of bringing into being a body which is called the International. The IHMRA, isn't it? International Healthcare Products and Medicines Regulatory Authority, something like that. And at first, when I heard of this, I thought, well, you can ignore them, they don't exist. But actually, it's much cleverer. What he's done is he's brought in to chair it someone who was first a very senior person in pharmaceutical company in the UK, a guy called Ian Hudson. And then he was involved in the European Medicines Agency, and now he's chairing this phantom global drug regulatory body that will sit above the EMA, the FDA, and so on. And basically, I think it's very clear that he is inventing the agency that a one world government would obviously look to. And my thoughts are that they have actually got a big website. You can go and look them up. They look like they're a professional body. They've no status, but I just tell you, if I'll link this to WHO. Basically, the WHO, as you probably know, has been hawking its pandemic treaty around, saying you guys didn't do much of a good job during COVID, and we propose to run public health emergencies and responses in the next pandemic. Please sign. Well, I've pointed out to people that by definition it would be a new situation. And there's no way any individual knows what's the best thing to do, let alone someone who's not even a medical doctor or a scientist like Tedros. And also, the way we've always solved problems is through experimentation and communication. That's how we should continue to do it. So it's illegitimate that WHO should pretend that having supranational power would be a good idea. It's not a good idea, folks. You must fight it. But let's say I think they hope to win, and WHO would have accorded to it huge power, then below it, we know there are corrupt pharma companies. Unfortunately, my former employer, Pfizer, is one of them. And if they would like to injunct me or sue me, I would welcome the time in court, but they won't do it. So they let me continue saying truthful things. But also a company called Moderna, which was a biotech during the era of when I was in biotech, and the only products it's ever had have arisen through the COVID pandemic, and they are their dangerous COVID-19 vaccines. So I think WHO will lie about a pandemic. Corrupt pharma companies will make further gene-based injections that are intentionally harmful. And then these regulators, like the IHMRA, will say, we'll wave it through. And governments will say, well, we didn't invent the crisis or the drug or approve them, but we recommend you get them. Imagine if they say, in order to be remain a good citizen, you have to be up to speed with the latest WHO recommended vaccines. I think that's a significant chunk of the control mechanism and potentially of the depopulation agenda. So I'll pause there because other colleagues will want to bring out different points and introduce other people. But that's I'm very worried about that.
Well, I think we all should be extremely worried about it. And Hedley has done several programs with us on exactly this point about this is totally independent of any government oversight in any country and spearheaded by Bill Gates in the UK with some of the players you mentioned and operating in the dark. It's really very chilling. And I know that both Dr. Gilthorpe and Andrea Klarich have further information on this. So let's expand on it.
Andrea, would you like to go first or shall I hop in?
Yeah, go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Dr. Lee. Happy to be on the show again this week. Hedley Rees has done a tremendous job at flagging up this because it had kind of flown under the radar. I think most people were focused on the drug companies that had, produced these new COVID shots and Pfizer's and Moderna's and whatever, or on the regulators themselves, the FDA and the EMA, that had given this emergency use regulation. But it kind of always rose in my mind, how was this coordinated? Because Health Canada was doing the same thing. Australian Medical Product Agency was doing the same thing. Then, and they were all moving together in tandem, in lockstep, as the Rockefellers like to call it. How is this happening? And it wasn't until Hedley brought up the ICMRA that I thought, aha, here is the mechanism by which things are being coordinated between different regulators across the world, but they're all doing the same thing. Because if this is happening through official channels, it's documented, people can do an FOI, a Freedom of Information request, and get information, maybe not all the information, but something that gives a hint about what's happening. Lawyers can go in and request that information. But if things are happening, verbally through telephone calls and with an organization that kind of sits out with the normal channels, this can be done at least at the national level without, things being documented in an official way. But the ICMRA, if you look them up, even if you go into Wikipedia, you see that they were established, in 2012 at the World Health Assembly, which is this yearly meeting of the WHO, of all the unelected individuals from all the countries that are part of the WHO General Assembly. That's when the Minister of Health for Brazil proposed that they should set up this heads of agency organization that could address current and emerging human medicine regulatory and safety challenges globally, strategically, and in an ongoing, transparent, authoritative, and institutional manner. Now, what you should have learned by now is everything that's stated about these things, you just need to invert it and flip it around, because this is, to my mind, is Luciferian. You state the opposite to what your objective and agenda is. So this is not transparent. This is not institutional. It's subversive and run in a secretive way, but it's like a public-private partnership. It means that the public can't actually get a handle on what what's being decided and what information is being traded at a level above what's officially recorded. So there's been, as Mike suggested, there's been this, if you look at the ICMRA's, how they're set up, there are a a number of these international medical regulators apart, not all, but quite a substantial number. But their chairperson comes from the EMA, the European Medicines Agency. And it was, I think, Raci was his name under COVID. And then it became Emer Cook, who is another Gates insider. So they kind of just switch the chairs out. You know, one person goes from head of the EMA and then they drop into this other organization. Then they'll go and work for pharma for a few years. So it's you see it happening in the US between Pfizer, the FDA, and other companies. They're just switching people around at the top. It's like musical chairs. You never know who's really in charge, but there's clearly no partition between those organizations because the people are just moving freely from one to another. I can hand over to Andrea to see what he has to say.
Well, you almost said everything concerning the people who are there. Just what is strange for me, they are acting like really nothing bad happened last 2.5, 3 years with these vaccines. They are acting like they are really saved, like they said, 20 million lives. Even now, they are mentioning 60 million lives with this vaccine. And I went through this document, we can say document, it's paper, where they're explaining how they are calculating. And I think it's really something that I'm not a researcher, I'm not a scientist, but I have a logic and common sense. And these paper are completely fraud. There's nothing right in this paper. They're just models who saying something that something will happen in case we didn't do that, and there is no any proof because there is no any benchmark, there is nothing, a randomized control group, nothing. Just their models, mathematical models, and we are facing that the same people, this Imperial College was made this document, the same people who were said that 2 million in Great Britain will die from the COVID in the first period. And we saw that it was completely wrong. And now we are facing with excess deaths all around the world. And very soon it will be even a speech in the parliament, UK parliament, about this excess deaths. We see all around the world that even some governments are, for example, New Zealand was elections and the party of Jacinda Ardern lost because of policy during the pandemic. We see Prime Minister of Alberta in Canada says that sorry for all, sorry for whatever we've done to unvaccinated. We were wrong. You were right. Also, Andrews, I think it was his name in Australia, he also lost a position because of COVID policy. That means all around the world we see that more and more people know that policy around the COVID and around vaccines was wrong. But these people are acting like everything was right and they are preparing for the new pandemic together with WHO, together with these companies like Moderna, who is planning to build new factories in the United Kingdom to produce more mRNA vaccines. And I can tell you, I had the interview with Michael Palmer last week, and it will be on my show very soon, next week. We explained there, according to his book, mRNA Vaccine Toxicity, we explained exactly what is wrong with these vaccines. And almost everything is wrong with these vaccines. And you can go through the details, and we explain it. And even if I can say in Croatia, I was asking our regulatory agency, are they going to use this mRNA technology for other vaccines, so-called vaccines? They said no. That means even the regular people who use this vaccine now see that lots of things are wrong with this technology. But these people, it seems to that they have to go completely through all the way because if they stop now, if they admit they were wrong, they will face the consequences, and I think they want to avoid it.
I mean that, Andrea, that's one possible interpretation, and there may be individuals in those roles who is doing that. You know, we must maintain momentum and say it's good, otherwise we'll be in trouble. It's my opinion that that the use of materials that they would call vaccines have always been in the eye of the what I call the perpetrators, the people who have plotted this coup of the world. And I'll say why very briefly, and I ask your audience to think. Can you think of any other product category from the pharmaceutical industry other than vaccines that cannot be questioned or challenged? And the answer is no. They have a special status, and they won that special status not because they are safe and effective, but because they are precious to, if you like, all the perpetrators. And they've created a halo around it. So that two things happen. One is when you mention vaccines, most people, like almost in a like a chart, will say safe and effective. That's the psychological planning. And secondly, when people like me, who spent over 30 years in what's called rational drug design, point out some of the things that Andreja just said, that these materials are inherently toxic, people will just call me a conspiracy theorist. You know, it's amazing that I can describe the six or seven things that are wrong. Every design choice that was made, the designers picked the most toxic option. So that's not luck, it's deliberate intent. And I think now you will have heard also, your audience will have heard from people like Sasha Latipova and other people, that over time it's been realized that some batches of these so-called COVID vaccines were much more dangerous than others. Now, whether that was deliberate or accidental doesn't matter for the next thing that I'm going to tell you. They have the results, though, through the a yellow card system and the vaccine adverse event reporting system. So they know what pathology is associated with what particular recipe. So that I call that calibrating the killing weapon. I think they know now exactly how to make these materials so that it'll kill, you know, 1% or 3%, whatever number they particularly want. And that I think is what they're going to do. So what can you do? Agitate with your politicians to have them not let your country passively fall into supporting the WHO's international health regulations or pandemic plans, because what that does is it will grant the WHO effective control of your country if the WHO, in their sole discretion, declare a public health emergency. It doesn't even have to be a pandemic. Apparently, it could be any public health emergency. So we must stop them there. I'm realistic. I know that politically that might be difficult. But also you should pepper your local healthcare people or people who regulate drugs in your country for information. You know, show me the information that supports safety and efficacy, because we see much evidence of harm. And there's no question, everywhere you look across the world, there's a strong correlation between the what percentage of the population were vaccinated and the number of people injured or killed. So that I think they're going to go around this again. May not be the only control and, you know, injury killing method that there is, but it's certainly there. And just on the picking up the point that Dr. Guilforth just raised, that people move around from drug companies to regulators and so on, I notice my former colleagues, Sir Patrick Vallance, I worked with him at the Wellcome Research about 32 years ago when he was just a PhD student. Patrick, what has happened to you? What are you doing? You should turn back towards the light, act authentically, tell the truth. Sue me. You know, I'm accusing you of activities that have resulted in, I think, deliberate deaths of lots of people. I'm afraid it's murder. And then also Kate Bingham, now also knighted by the Queen. So she's Dame Kate Bingham, for her role in liaising across the UK community to so-called bring forward these so-called vaccines. Both of those two people have joined a British agency I've never heard of called the Advanced Research and Innovation Agency. And I think, you know, hats off to our American colleagues, I think it's probably a peer of DARPA or BARDA. And I think they're going to set up a group led by these two titled individuals, and they'll attract private money. Gates will end up funding it, I bet you. And it'll allow them to do all sorts of evil things. So if you know any of these people, you must call them out. They won't sue you because they're liars. Anyway, I'll pause at that point because I can keep going forever.
Well, Dr. Eden, in the second half, I do want to come back to the ICMRA, and it is the International Coalition of Medicines Regulatory Authorities. Interesting choice of words, because they have no authority to take control from the individual countries' regulatory agencies, but they are putting authorities in the title to convey that lie and that deception for the public and others. But I want to, in the second half, I really want to come back to several points that you made in something that you wrote to us before today's show about Gates and the transgenerational aspect of how he's doing what he's doing, as well as how this is put together and supported by many others, and also the serious threats to the survival of humanity. And to your point about excess deaths that actually Andrea, you and Dr. Gilthorpe have mentioned already, we are on track to meet the projections of the Daigle, DEAGLE.com population report that was put out in 2020, predicting decline in the populations of the major Western industrialized countries, 68% decline in the United States, 77% decline in the UK, 34% decline in Australia, and so on down the line. We are on track to meet those catastrophic population loss due to excess deaths by 2025, due to the COVID deaths and COVID vaccine deaths that Ed Dowd and all of the insurance data analysts that he's been working with have been bringing up in the insurance data, the actuarial data showing the death claims already and what is projected for the next 2 years. So it is a very chilling future that we all face if we don't begin to strongly resist now at the local civilian level. All of you listening, and share this with your networks around the world, all of us must resist, resist, resist. And we'll talk more about this in the second half of today's show. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out all of our archive of shows where we've been bringing these issues to light for a year and a half now at www.whistleblowerreports.org. Go to truthforhealth.org and download our vaccine injury treatment guide, our COVID early treatment guide, our hemorrhagic fever fact sheet and treatment guide. Donate to support our work to bring these dark, threatening issues to light and support our legal defense grant program. And for those of you who would like ways to reliably improve your health and resilience, check out the truthforhealthstore.com, where we are bringing you products that I have personally researched and vetted, and these are manufactured in a manufacturing facility in the United States that has better and more thorough inspections for the manufacturing process than what they have thrown out the window for the very COVID shots that you're letting people inject into your arm. So our nutraceuticals, vitamins, and minerals are manufactured in a good manufacturing compliant facility that is regularly inspected for compliance, better than the COVID shots and many of the medicines we're taking now. So check it out. And I can tell you, I'm taking them myself, and I see a big difference in my energy and clarity of thinking and a lot of the things that people are seeking today. So check out our store at truthforhealthstore.com. We'll be right back after the break.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report, the international report. And this is exposing, bringing out of the shadows, the ICMRA plot to control world medicines for humans, animals, and what is sprayed on our food crops. It is really a very dark Luciferian agenda hiding in the shadows, unbeknownst to the majority of the public. Now, if you go to their website, which is icmra.info, you see all of these grandiose descriptions of what they are doing. That is actually hiding the fact that their agenda is truly to regulate and oversee and dictate what medicines will be allowed for the world as a tool of the one world government and great reset that we've been hearing about for quite some time, that is going into effect at an accelerated pace. As more people are waking up, the global powers that are forcing this one world governance are moving at an accelerated rate. That goes to the point Dr. Yeadon was making about the WHO manufacturing another pandemic to scare everyone into compliance. So, Dr. Yeadon, I'd like to go back to some things that you wrote in your message to me earlier about Bill Gates is pushing all of this and clearly has many billions of dollars to put behind it. Remember, Warren Buffett left his assets to the Gates Foundation as well. So we're not only looking at what the Gates Foundation itself has accumulated, but the Gates Foundation is the repository of the wealth of Warren Buffett as well. We don't hear his name as much, but he's just as much a player behind the scenes here. And I'd like for you to talk more about, you know, how does one person have so much control?
Yeah.
And is it really just one person?
Yeah. No, I'll do that very quickly. So one thing I'd recommend is there's a Canadian journalist living in Japan called James Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T. He runs the CorbettReport.com, and he makes his content available for free. So if any listeners, I'd advise they do spend the hour listening to James' program called who is Bill Gates? And so you will learn astonishing things about Bill Gates and where he comes from and his father and so on. But just briefly, from a scientific perspective, half a dozen ways in which his money and influence is bringing, I think, a satanic influence upon the world. And I just lightly in conversation said that I thought if anyone could qualify for being an antichrist figure at the moment, it would be Gates. So Gates uses his money to influence the direction of world biomedical research. Outside of the drug companies, most of the biomedical research done in the world is funded by governments or charities. And so he has an enormous amount of money through his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and a gentleman called Christopher Elias operates that in terms of research. He liaises with the Wellcome Trust, has an enormous, I think it's 50 or 60 billion pounds worth of money for charitable research. And of course, your Anthony Fauci has a lot of taxpayers' money through the NIH. These three gentlemen, Farrar, Fauci, and Elias, go back decades. And I think they have been effectively in control of non-commercial biomedical research in the world. I think it's about two-thirds of the spend is through these people. So that's one way in which Gates' money has altered the landscape. They end up owning journals and university policies and specific researchers. It makes it very difficult for people to do anything that's against the narrative. And just as an aside, the same sort of thing has happened with climate change. I don't know who funds that. But Gates also has invested substantially. There are famous little clips of him saying he gets a 21 return on his investments in vaccine companies like Moderna. He's also donated money to my UK national drug regulator, the MHRA, which I think is appalling. Why should private individuals be paying for essentially a public service that should be paid for by the taxpayer? Who do you think they'll respond to under those circumstances? And I think it's Gates instead of me. Also, Gates had a very significant influence on the WHO, the funding of it, I think he, through his own foundation and other bodies he's set up, I think he's the largest single donor to the World Health Organization. Ladies and gentlemen, are we okay with this, that one man should have that much financial input? Don't you think he gets something for his money? A couple of other things. One, drug companies have for a long time been made to defray partly the costs of drug regulation. It was seen as a way of punishing them. And it's called, I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, it's basically drug companies contribute fees, PDUFA, prescription drug user fees, something like that. And so indirectly, Gates, through drug companies, ends up funding the FDA too. He's also put a lot of his own money into the many ways in which digital ID could be brought into being, and not just through software, through his Microsoft, but also intradermal injection of chemicals that then could be scanned. I've seen various patents. And then finally, I mentioned earlier, he is clearly the funder and overall overlord, as it were, of this ICMRA. He has appointed people, and his bodies have funded staff members who are in this. It's like a ghost organization. It doesn't have authority. We can't demand any sight of any of its proceedings. But I can imagine at some point that WHO would just begin to liaise with them, that reported in the media, and that would just be a fait accompli. At that point, they don't need an act of parliament because no one is defending the law. So I pause at that point. But I think Gates's influence cannot be seen as benign. There are too many occasions, for example, in Africa and India, where some of his foundation's money found its way through programs into experimental injections into African girls in rural villages. And he ended up sterilizing a very large number of those people. So he has form, folks. I'm not just taking against the man. I think he has, you know, he has a very significant form, and what he's doing is not legitimate. And, you know, for those of you who think that Antichrist figures exist, I share that view, and I think he's one of them. So,
well, I think you're right. And actually, the Bible tells us that there will be Antichrist appearing in the, that is part of what Matthew 24 talks about. And the Antichrist is described in the Bible with certain characteristics and certain timing. And I don't think any of us know who that the Antichrist may be at this point. That's known to God. And yet we see many leaders fulfilling an Antichrist role in carrying out a Luciferian agenda that is the opposite of the Christian message, the message of Christ. And so it is Antichrist in its action, even if it is not the Antichrist foretold in the Bible. Andrea, you had some comments on this.
Yeah, I would like to explain what is the role of people who are financing WHO. I had an interview with Dr. David Bell. He was working for WHO. He explained me that now whoever financed WHO also has a requirement how to use this money. That means they are not just giving money for the charity or like a philanthropist, and you can use money for, I don't know, your public politics. No. They say, I'll give you the money and you will use it for that purpose. And that's why it's logical that they're running the business. They're running the show. They are not a philanthropist. They're investing in WHO. They're using as an investment fund and they are making conditions how they're going to use this money. And that's how they make profit. And they made huge profit in the last 3 years. And now they have a lot of money to use it for additional investment in the future. And we can see that they knew what will happen in already 2019. They made this event 21 in October 2019, and they simulated what they're going to do. Now they can do it again, maybe with additional new pathogen. And also, I would like to add what Jonathan says, that in the future, Tedros, for example, as a chief of WHO, can say that there is the only threat from some kind of international concern, and they can implement new international health regulations. That means whatever he see in the world is happening, he can say, there's a threat for future pandemics. We go in the emergency situation. And then after that, all states, member states had to do whatever WHO say to do. And this is very important because this can explain why these private persons invest in WHO.
I think that's exactly right. And you know, Bill Gates has directed the use of his money. And in fact, investment is a good way of describing it, because they're making profit on some of the products developed that are then used in their directed activities.
Yeah, I see this as a business model. I said that it's business model. They're using WHO for all around the world to invest in certain kind of products and to control how they can make return on investment. And they have all the tools to do it.
Well, that's how Bill Gates Foundation keeps making more money. Exactly what you just described. And people don't realize that they are... It's the lie that is foisted off on the public that this is a philanthropic foundation. It's not really. It's a business, as you said. It's the business model.
I've heard it described as not a philanthropist, but a philanthropath. That is someone who, under the guise of using their money to help other people, has injurious criminal designs on others. And I will acknowledge Margaret Anna Alice. Margaret Anna Alice, I think, will be seen in the future as a phenomenal writer during the pandemic. If you see her Substack articles, Margaret Anna Alice, for example, Mistakes Were Not Made is a poem that she wrote. I think she attributes it to a conversation I had with her when I said, I'm very perturbed that I can see all sorts of people around the world are saying, oh, there were mistakes made. Maybe we got this a little wrong. And I thought, no, I'm not having it. There's nothing that happened in 2020 and 2021 was a mistake. It was all very carefully planned.
I agree with you.
That is exactly right. And we really ignore that at our peril. I know, yeah. Dr. Eden, you have said so many times, and I agree with you from the medical consequences I'm seeing in my practice. I don't have your expertise about the design, but you have said many times from your career in drug design, you said all mRNA-based injections provided the genetic sequence encodes a non-human protein will injure, maim, and kill. The toxicity yes. is intentional and by design. COVID can be seen as the dress rehearsal for all of this. That's a powerful quote, and I want our listeners to take heed of that. But you have other concerns that you want our listeners to understand as the threats to humanity. So would you summarize those as we wrap up today's program?
Yeah, I'll try and do that. I see like two arms of a pincer movement coming at us. And I think the audience will recognize these if I just pull them out, that there's an increasing desire everywhere to control you, to monitor you, to restrict you, to make you have permits to do things. And so what I'm seeing in England, I talked about this with 15-minute cities and limits to the number of times you can use your own automobile. What I see coming is digital totalitarian control. So digital ID is going to be required, I predict. I can see it coming in lots of places. It'll be required for you to just have a normal life. And I say to you once again, ladies and gentlemen, you do not need a digital ID to lead your law-abiding life. And the evidence for that is, in my case, the last 63 years of my life. The perpetrators need you to have it. That's the only reason it's being brought in. Because at that point, I think you won't gain a number. You will vanish as a person. You'll be replaced by a barcode or a QR code forever. So that's one of the pincer movements, the digital ID. The other one, I think, is this sort of fear porn of sudden global emergencies. I mean, think back through your life. When did we last have a global emergency that wasn't a war? And the answer is we didn't really. Maybe 1918. We even think that was exaggerated, but there's been nothing else. And yet suddenly they're like buses. You know, you wait 100 years and three of them come up at once. It's just lies. They're making people frightened by playing out scenarios on the TV that aren't true about emerging vaccines and viruses. And it was a monkeypox. Then there was a story about Ebola. And, you know, what we know of these things is they don't spread very far. That Ebola, for example, has never had more than two outbreaks in two adjacent African nations ever. So if they try and frighten you with one of these things, it's a lie. So that's what I see. They'll use WHO to frighten us about the next pandemic, which won't be real. And then they'll have, you know, governments controlling you, lockdown, for example. If you had a digital ID at that point, it would be brilliant for them, wouldn't it? If they wanted to ration your ability to obtain money, gasoline, and food. So please, I urge you, reject digital ID. It's illegitimate. If you want to identify yourself with a government-issued ID, that's fine. You should be given the choice of which 17 versions you present, not Do not be mugged into having one digital ID, because it'll be the same format as mine and my children and my grandchildren. That doesn't exist currently. When it does, I just cannot imagine how we could escape. I think if they can scare us with pandemics, drug companies will continue to make these materials, which, remember, they're brand new. And my comments don't apply to every vaccine, but they do apply to these gene-based vaccines, so-called vaccines, where your body is turned into a factory to manufacture whatever is encoded in that genetic mix. And your body is not able to tolerate anything that is not meant to be there. So if you make a piece of foreign protein, your immune system will attack and kill every cell that does that. I knew that before they started jabbing, and I was one of several people that warned that it would cause huge adverse events. And of course, we were censored and smeared, and that's what happened. And I'm saying the same thing again. So I've been pro bono 3.5 years, and I haven't changed my message. Then finally, a couple of comments, if I may. In Britain, we have one member of parliament, Andrew Bridgen, who has spoken out very clearly for several months now about excess deaths and other wrongdoings. He has a debate to take place in the House of Commons on Friday, October the 20th. We will provide the time for you in the notes, but I believe it should be watchable live on Parliament TV, but we'll try and find the instructions. But a couple of things. I spoke to him on Friday, met him on Friday, actually, in London, and he told me that when he described what he was very concerned about to a very senior member of the Conservative Party, party in power, he was told, Andrew, there is no political appetite for your views at present. Maybe in 20 years you'll be proved right. You probably will be, said this senior person. In other words, the British government knows damn fine that these are injuring and killing people, but they're not going to do anything about it. A few days later, apparently, Andrew was contacted by this very senior member of the government who said, Andrew, you can have anything you want. Name your price, you know, money, honours, whatever it is, more or less to shut up. And he said it didn't take him long to decide to decline it. And when he declined it, the throwaway remark, you must hear this. Before putting the phone down, the person said, Andrew, you'll be dead in a few years. You've been vaccinated. So this is the kind of people we're dealing with and the kind of agenda we're dealing with. So I'll pause there.
Wow. That is quite, that gave me cold chills to hear you say that.
Yeah, me too.
And I knew in my soul, and I knew medically, that these were very dangerous. I didn't know all the details in 2020 that we know now, and I didn't have your scientific background in 2020, Dr. Yeadon and Dr. Gilthorpe especially, but I had a sense in my spirit and medical common sense that nothing good could come of this when it was rushed to market so fast with no real regulatory oversight, when normally the FDA had always said that it was 5 to 15 years of clinical trials before gene therapy agents could be safely brought to market. And they had never been successful in getting an mRNA vaccine for the HIV virus that ostensibly caused acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And I knew it was deception. I didn't know the details. But when my patients would ask me what to do about the experimental COVID injections, I said, we don't need to take the risk. These are experimental, they're emergency use, they're not fully approved, and you don't need to take the risk. We can treat COVID with old, safe medicines. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were very well known by then and very, very safe, years, decades of use around the world. And I said, there is something that is not worth the risk here, and I urge you not to take it. Those who listened are doing much better in their health than my patients who gave in to the fear or the pressure from employers and other doctors and took the shot. They're all having complications. So I think what that person said to Andrew Bridgen is true for everyone, sadly, who's gotten these COVID shots. They are the walking wounded and they have a ticking time bomb in their body.
Yeah, I mean, I have not myself, to be clear, no one is clever enough to know exactly what's going to happen. The people who designed these may well do, but I remember we don't know all the details. But I would say, I've always said this, if you know, it's a bit like smoking. Today's a great day to resolve never to expose yourself to, in this case, these injections. And I pray that people in good health, despite injections, will continue. But I think it would be foolish to say everyone who's not been ill so far will be fine. Some people, I'm afraid, are going to be affected by these diabolical creations. And
Dr. Yeadon, I'm seeing it in my practice. There are people who think they're fine. And I just had a young woman in her 30s just recently. She thinks she's fine. Her D-dimer was almost 3,000. I was the only physician who ever checked it. And I've never seen anything like that before. So I think there are a lot of people that think they're fine, but if their doctors are not doing the markers of the underlying damage that the COVID shots have triggered, then they don't know that there's a problem that could be treated. And that is an even greater tragedy in my mind.
Yeah, I want to just, if I may, just take 30 seconds to do my standard request. So it's great to speak to you, men and women of America and the world who are listening to Dr. Lee's show. I cannot reach your circle, your family circle, your social circle, work and friends. The media will never tell them the truth. So I have a difficult request of you, which is to point out that if you don't reach them with some of these messages, they'll never know, and we may well lose. But if you, as it were, take up your courage, pick something from these broadcasts that you think, I understand that bit, find ways to creatively ask questions maybe. I know what happens when people just go up to strangers and try and describe this. It's just unbelievable. So try and find something that you think this will chime with them. Get them to start asking questions, because my experience is once people lose confidence and think, I think the government's been lying, once they get to that point, their own cognitive dissonance carry them over. So please do that. And that's why I wanted, Dr. Lee, just to take that few moments to say, no one is coming to save us, but we can save ourselves with courage and faith.
Beautifully said. And I want to thank all of you for joining us again, Dr. Gilthorpe, Andrea Claridge, and Dr. Mike Yeadon. And this is Dr. Lee for America. All of you listening, our goal is to bring you the truth against the lies and deception that are robbing people of their quality of life, their health, and even their lives. Stand against this evil, speak out, and join our crusade. We, the people, are greater in number than those coming against us. If we join together and stand against tyranny, don't give in to the digital ID. Stop getting the mRNA and DNA shots. Focus on restoring your health and resilience as God designed our bodies, and turn back to God. Look at ways to strengthen your faith and join our efforts to save humanity. We'll be back with another whistleblower report from the international team next week. Thank you all for joining us. May God bless you and keep you safe.